chorus of that song, O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thine atonement did give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. What better way to enter into a new year than letting perhaps the chorus of that song be our theme? Lord Jesus, I live for You and You alone. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to find your way to the Gospel of St. Matthew. St. Matthew chapter number 2. We're going to talk this morning about three individuals who chose to live for Jesus, who chose to, despite a command from the king himself, they withheld information, if you will. These three men are the wise men, as we have come to know them. Would like to think on the thought of the light of the world, recognizing Jesus' revelation. We have a season on the church calendar. It's not really mentioned or celebrated as much in the Baptist churches, but it is a, I guess you could call it a legit season, and a lot of the Methodists celebrate and recognize this amongst other denominations as well. But it's a season called Epiphany. And what Epiphany is where these wise men came to visit with Christ. Now, Christ, I know the manger seems, the last church I pastored was an independent Methodist, and we withheld the wise men from the nativity scene until after Christmas, because theologically, the wise men were not there at the birth of Christ. They showed up later. And so we didn't have wise men at the manger scene. Matter of fact, we didn't have even the baby Jesus in the manger scene until Christmas, and so because he wasn't there all month, right? So just some little odds and ends, things like that. But nonetheless, Epiphany is significant in the church life because it celebrates not only these wise men and their travels to see this King Christ, but also it celebrates all disciples of Christ seeking Him, to seek after Christ. Epiphany means a manifestation or appearance referring to Jesus being revealed to the world. It was given by the early church to celebrate the birth of Christ and the revelation of God's love for the world. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, the journey of the Magi, the Magi, the wise men, whatever it is that you may wish to describe them as in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 2, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. It says, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he demanded to them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou least among the princes of Judea, of Judah, I'm sorry, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule the people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that you came to be born among men, God, to show us the way to salvation, Lord, to die for our sins, and Lord, to forgive us so many times where we have failed you. And Lord, I pray that as we go through this time, God, in your word, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to apply what we learned here this morning in our everyday life. Lord, help us to be just as these wise men were, to seek after you. And Lord, make you the king in our own lives. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So this epiphany, this manifestation, this revelation that Jesus has been born God in the flesh, right, was prophesied of in the prophets that he would come and he would be born in this town of Bethlehem. And as verse 3 says, when Herod had heard this news, he was greatly troubled. Troubled here meaning fearful. He was afraid that there had become someone that was about to succeed the throne, to take his job away from him. And so as he was trying to figure out who this Christ was, and where this Christ was at, not to go worship him, but to have him killed. This is what was to be taking place during this time here. He wasn't concerned about what the prophets said. He wasn't concerned even really about what the wise men said, other than when they come back to tell him where this child is. Was. It's interesting how this journey of the wise men coming from the east, how they follow the star. They were guided by this star, and it symbolizes God's clear sign of leading them to where Jesus was. Now, we have many stars, if you will, in our society today. I've oftentimes, on a clear night, you can go outside and see the stars in the sky, and you know, some are a little brighter than others. And interestingly, I didn't find that where it's the source for this, but I remember reading years ago that those stars that we see in the sky, like tonight, for instance, aren't even there anymore. They've already extinguished or burned out. And so those stars, that's how vast our galaxy is, and what we're seeing is kind of like the jet airplane. When you're watching it, what you're seeing is not the jet, because the jet's done gone, right? The same thing here with these stars. So this star was different. This star was one that was large, probably had to be. It stood out amongst the others. It moved in the direction, and it lighted the way for these wise men and led them to where Jesus was. We have to be careful with who or what star we follow today. We have a lot of stars in our society, and I know younger people like to follow the some of the music trends, and they lead them in different paths, and we have to be careful with that as well. We have people, motivational speakers, that will lead you down the wrong path, and so we have to be careful as to what star are we really following, and if it's not leading us to Jesus, then we don't need it. They followed the star, but they also were seeking the truth. Seeking the truth. They had a dedication here to finding who this true king was. And this is representative of our own quest to find meaning and purpose in our life, but also to seek out the truth. Well, the Word of God is the truth. We looked at that a few months ago when we studied how the inspiration of the Word of God, how it came by direct inspiration, and these men of God penned down the words under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And so we have to seek out this truth. And these wise men did the same thing. They were searching for the true king. Now, while Herod was king of the land, Jesus was king of Herod. Jesus was king of the land, of Herod, of the country, of the world, and everything else that may fall under that. Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But with this truth, there is also a very hard side of Epiphany. Epiphany is a great thing, isn't it? It's a manifestation, or it's a revealing of Christ being born, Him, His lordship, His kingmanship. That's all great news. But with all great news also comes some bad. Some hard news. The hard side of Epiphany, that the good news of Jesus arouses the ugliness of sin and violence in our world. The very moment that Jesus was born, there was already a death sentence issued for Him. Not only because He was born to die, right, on Calvary's cross, but by man's standards, a death sentence was already issued. The hard truth, or the hard side of Epiphany, is that it brings about sin in our life, and it shows us how violent one can be. But it's hard to accept that good news has enemies. The good news has enemies. You remember in Isaiah where it says that the government will be upon His shoulders. They will always be pursuing Him. And this was what it was talking about here, where Herod was pursuing Christ. The government will be upon His shoulders. And they will try to seek out, and His own country will deny Him and reject Him. The hard truth to accept the gospel, or the good news, has enemies. It's harder to accept than announcing the truth makes enemies. Have you ever told somebody the truth and they get mad? I tell people sometimes, they'll ask, I want your opinion about this. And I'm saying, are you sure? Because if you ask me my opinion, then that gives me that title to be able to say my opinion, right? No, because if it's offensive, you're automatically the bad guy, right? It's harder to accept that announcing the truth makes enemies. When we tell people that living in sin will send you to hell, I can assure you, you will have enemies. When you say that this is the Word of God, and I believe every word contained in this word, that it is what it is, and it says what it says, and I believe it, and whatever it says I am, that's what I am. You will have enemies when you stand on what the Word of God teaches, and you push away all of this worldly nonsense. You will have enemies. When you say that Jesus is the only way to heaven, you will have enemies. It's hard to accept that the good news has enemies. It's harder to accept that announcing the truth makes enemies. And it's hardest to accept our responsibility to stand for the truth. Now, if we can get past the first two, we're in good shape, right? We can accept the fact that it has enemies. We know Christ has enemies. Matter of fact, he even said, if they hate me, guess what? They're going to hate you even more.
Amen.
We have that, and then we have announcing truth. If we tell you the truth of the matter, we're going to have enemies. But perhaps the hardest thing in Epiphany is our responsibility to stand for the truth. You know, we wonder, and I say we, I mean the church collectively meaning the entire Christian church, all right? We wonder how things are happening the way they're happening. I can recall my grandmother, my grandfather, even my parents to a degree, but I know for a fact that my grandparents, growing up, you know, in the 90s, they would say, well, if my parents ever saw that, they would be turning over in their grave. And then my parents would say, well, if my folks ever saw that, well, they'd be turning over in their graves. And then I'm looking, here we are in 2025, right, thinking, my Lord, if my grandfolks or even my great-grandfolks seen half the stuff going on today, I think they would do more than just be turning, right? John Wesley said one time, what one generation tolerates, the next will embrace. What one generation tolerates, the next will embrace. And dear friend, that's what we're seeing today. Because the generation before tolerated. The generation before that tolerated. And how we often stand and say, I don't understand how we have allowed this to happen. I can tell you how. We've been too silent for too long. And we allow the devil to use us as a doormat because we don't want to be offensive. Right, I can't tell you how many times in the last 5-6 years I have heard, well, that's offensive. That hurts my feelings. That's tough to bear. I don't think God would do that. I've heard that a lot. God don't send people to hell. That's true. You send yourself there. It's the truth, and it's hard to stand on that truth, right? To be able to say Jesus is the only way through his death, his burial, and resurrection. It is hard for us to accept that responsibility. Seeking the truth. These wise men, they followed the star. They sought after truth. They crossed boundaries. Crossing boundaries here, they come from afar, signifying that Jesus' message transcends all cultures and geographical barriers that we may look at. It's a message not for Bethlehem. It's a message not just for Israel. It's a message not just for the Middle East or the West or wherever. It's a message for the entire world. God so loved the world. You remember what John said? That he gave his only son to die for that world. That's the message of Epiphany. That Jesus came to show the world that he was here, that the King had arrived. And just as he arrived then, just as he told his disciples there at the resurrection, as he was about to ascend back into heaven, and the angels said to the group looking, "Why stand ye gazing into the heavens? The same Lord that you just saw rise will come again." Crossing boundaries. We see them, the journey. Then secondly, I want us to think about the encounter. The encounter that these wise men had with Christ. They bring gifts of worship, and they brought gold, which signifies royalty. They brought frankincense as an act of worship. Myrrh, death and resurrection. Myrrh is an ingredient back in this time used for the preparation of the dead. And so these gifts are a bit prophetic, right? Royalty, him being the King of Kings. Frankincense, he being the only one worthy of our worship. And myrrh, because he came to die. They fall before Jesus, and that emphasizes the act of worship and submission to Jesus as the true King. And then they had a revelation here. They recognized that Jesus as the Messiah, and how that represents this universal revelation of God's plan. We talk about planning a lot. As a matter of fact, I would dare say that many folks probably, I didn't this year because I know better than to set resolutions, right? Because they never work for me. I do good for about the first, I don't know, 3 or 4 days, and then it kind of, you know, it just falls about like diet plans, you know, first week or so. That's great. That's wonderful. You lose some pounds. You get excited. Oh, this is going to be wonderful. And then mama calls and says, "Honey, I've got this at home." There goes the diet, right? Or we have a church eating. Guess what? There goes the diet. Kind of like people that stop smoking and have, you know, they quit smoking, and then maybe in the first week or two of stopping, they get that urge, maybe a stressful situation, and guess what? They light one more up just for old time's sake, and they're hooked on it again. Here we find this same, this planning here. That was taking place, but God made a plan from the very fall in the Garden of Eden. And that plan will ultimately end when Jesus comes again and ultimately sits at the throne. The plan for man. What is our response to this morning? We have our personal epiphany, if you will. Understanding how that God reveals himself in our lives. He shows us the way, how we need to follow in his light. I think about that song, "The Footsteps of Jesus." You know, following wherever they may lead, I will follow in the steps of Jesus. Are we willing to share this message? What a great responsibility it is for us. How important it is for us to share the good news of Christ with others. Just as these wise men shared their discovery. Jesus' message is not just for a certain people. It is for all people. regardless of background. So I want to challenge, I guess you could say, you as a congregation, me as well. I mentioned it this morning briefly to a couple. You know, there's some things I've got to do better at that I admit that I'm not the best at. And sometimes as life has it, you know, you forget things. And I know that's only going to get worse with age. And I can't imagine, because mine's worser as it is, right, on forgetting stuff. And I've gotten to where I keep little sticky notes. If you saw my office at home, my desk is covered with sticky notes just so I don't forget to do something, right? I'm told it gets worse. But I challenge even myself with this challenge to share the gospel. You know, we're entering into a new year, this 2025. You know, 25 years ago, we was preparing for what everybody thought was going to sure enough be the apocalypse, right? I remember it, year 2000. Everybody, the computers were going to stop working and everything was going to crash. It was going to be horrific, right? Here we are 25 years later. So this challenge is to seek the lost. Several have mentioned this in the church, and matter of fact, Denny and I had talked about it this week, maybe issuing a challenge, maybe a theme for the church this year. And I thought about this, and I wished I could take credit for it. I can't. It's pretty clever and a little bit witty, but you in a pew. You in a pew. That is our theme for this year. And I'm not meaning just you in a pew, although I want you in the pew, right? But to be about our community and getting others in the pew as well. Now, I'd mentioned maybe reaching out to some former members, maybe if they're not going to church somewhere. I know there's people right around us that aren't in church this morning. Are we willing to take that challenge? 2025, new year, new me, right? It comes around every year, right? Perhaps we can be about our Maker, our Father's business, and sharing the good news with those around us. This morning, as we have seen Epiphany, how Jesus has came, born to die. And I thought, what better way to start the new year than on the first Sunday to memorialize what he instituted for the church in Holy Communion. So I want to take just a moment, we won't be long, but just a moment to prepare our hearts. Here we practice, I'm not sure if it's the proper term, because I know in different denominations it means differently. I've always said it's open communion. And what I mean by that is, if you are a baptized Christian and you were baptized in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then you are free to partake in communion, which I believe that would probably be everyone here this morning. So let's prepare our hearts for this, just to thank the Lord for what he has done for us in 2024. And looking forward to what he will do for us in 2025. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come this morning, how thankful we are that you have revealed yourself to us. Lord, how you give us that wisdom to discern what is right and what is wrong. And Lord, help us to be just as the wise men were, to seek after you. Lord, draw us closer to you. And as we go into this new year, Lord, help us to be more fervent in sharing this good news. Help us to stand on the truth and Lord, not compromise with what your word teaches us. Lord, be solid in our faith. Lord, help us to be a contagious Christian. God, that when others see us, that they see you within us. Help us to be a part of a change in our world. Lord, as we are about to partake of this Holy Communion that you instituted to the disciples to take and to drink in remembrance of you, Lord, how thankful we are that you came and died on that cruel cross of Calvary. Lord, that we can have the remission of sins and have promise of eternal life in heaven with you. Forgive us, Lord, for where we may have failed you in so many ways. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As the song will be playing, if you would, pew by pew, come by, grab a cup and the bread, return to your pews, and then I will say a few words, and then we partake together.
Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus. Spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus. Your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye, then go in peace and laugh on glory's side, and fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, and live.
On the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to disciples, saying, "Take, eat this, and do this in remembrance of me." And that same night he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to each of his disciples, saying, "Drink you all of this in remembrance of me. This is my body and my blood shed for you." And so as a church, we, in remembrance of him, take the body and the blood, and because of that, we can live with Jesus. Amen. Let's dismiss with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, as we have come to worship you, how thankful we are that we are able to gather here, Lord, to do so without fear, Lord, to be able to do so freely. We're thankful for your Spirit that dwells among us. And Lord, now as we depart, we pray that you would help us to be that light that shines in such a sin-dark world. Lord, may we draw others to you and show them the way to life everlasting by your salvation. Be with us, grant us peace, grant us safety, and Lord, make us to return at the next appointed time. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.